Please note, this media may contain mentions of self-harm and or suicide. Please contact 13 11 14 for the Lifeline Australia Crisis Support Hotline if you are having blue thoughts.
Better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
I love podcasting. Why? Because every week I get to talk to you guys, my bros. And you know what? I want you to be in the Bulletproof Brotherhood. You know how you do that? With the secret handshake. You know what that handshake is? It's click and subscribe. Because we want you to be in our brotherhood. We want you to be in the team. The only way you can do that is by clicking subscribe. Now, I can't check this. I can't know for sure. But every week, we love to give you everything you need. We like to bro down with you. And the best way we can do that to get closer to you is by clicking subscribe. Do that, you're in the brotherhood. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ Podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the masterful Joseph.
What's up, guys? Good to be here.
Now, we are doing part two of what makes a great BJJ gym. The reason why we didn't go into this last time is it's such a big thing, but people don't talk about it so much in the jiu-jitsu context, which is gym culture. It is those things that make you love a place, and sometimes it's hard to articulate, but you'll know it when you go into a place because of the vibe, the energy, the relationships. There's so much going on that builds the trust and the love for that place. It's really just a room with mats in it, but you think about all the battles, the jokes, the injuries.
Yeah, the memes.
The memes. God, the memes, bro. So much going on. And so what we want to do today is talk about what we feel really makes great BJJ gym culture.
Yeah. And this is part two. Part one, we were talking more about the business side of like how a gym would, things that a gym would do in order to be able to like be successful, right?
Yeah.
So that was more business side of things. This one's more about, yeah, the cultural piece within the gym. What are the actual mechanisms or the things that you would consciously consider as a gym owner to have an awesome culture?
Yeah.
Because I do think that culture is generally, it's kind of haphazard.
Yes.
We tend not to think about it. We tend to think about the administerial parts of a business. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got the toilets. We got toilet paper. I do the cleaning every night after the sessions. The sessions are coached like this. We're good to go. And then some gyms just happen to have a good vibe.
Yeah.
And that's ones we're like, oh, it's a fucking cool place. They got a cool culture there.
Mm.
Sometimes that's deliberate, though I think most of the time it's not.
Yeah. Well, even if you look at really large organizations, like big, big companies with thousands of people in there, they will probably have somebody who's in charge of that to make sure that people are having a good time.
Yeah.
And when you're running a small business or a medium-sized business, it's not really something you put on there as a job, like chief culture officer. You know, it sounds a bit wanky, but I know the difference. Like when I first came to Jungle Brothers here, like I remember early days going to previous Jungle Brothers and it was really just me and Joey working out. So I didn't get to see the action vibe.
Oh, like back in our first gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I did see was the Christmas party.
Yep.
And Joey dressed up as Tony Montana.
Yes, I did.
It was good.
Cockroaches.
How could a white guy like this look like a gangster?
I spray painted my hair black that night.
Right, it was a great look.
Smoked a whole cigar.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt like shit the next day.
But what was awesome, and this is the, because I wasn't there, I just heard about it through yourself and Paul and Tiora, is the photos. And the effort that people put in was next level. And it made the party awesome. Like dress-up parties when people go to the extra effort is impressive.
Yeah.
She's like, dang. Oh, yeah. It was so impressive. And I was like, I would like to go to a gym like that. I want to be a part of a group of people who's passionate and they care. And also, you're kind of making fun of yourself a bit, you know. And so that is something that made me go, you know what, I got love for Jungle Brothers. Even though I was very much 100% at the Richmond Gym in Melbourne, shout out the Richmond Gym. Richmond Gym is an amazing gym, great people. But it,
maybe I could dress up a little bit more.
Yeah, you need to
dress up every now and again.
Why not? But it was funny because it's just something like that. Or maybe your friend tells you, oh man, we had this really cool party and, you know, like everyone had a good time together and it was separate to the jiu-jitsu or separate to the weightlifting. It was just this thing which is hard to quantify other than it was a great feeling. And I think that's what great gym cultures do. They create opportunities for these great feelings to occur.
Yeah.
Good memories.
Yeah.
But in terms of structuring this, and this is like a throw to you, Joe, on this one, is talking about those opportunities that a gym owner could create for there to be social things to happen. Social opportunities, social development between a group of complete strangers.
Yeah.
You're asking them to get very intimate and strangle each other, but not necessarily asking them to just get to know each other.
You
know what I mean? Like, it's kind of funny.
I was thinking about, kind of as a precursor to this whole chat, classic example, you have B-Team and you have New Wave.
Sure.
And both seem very good at jiu-jitsu, but clearly B-Team looks like a really fun place to be at.
Yes.
And everyone that goes there says, oh, it's fucking cool. Cool energy, cool vibes. No one says that about New Wave. No one says anything about New Wave. All we know is that Danaher's there, and if you learn under Danaher, you're going to be really good at jiu-jitsu, right? Yeah. And so
code of silence,
two very different cultures. And I think what's important is that, like, with this conversation, the things that we're talking about, if they're not like, if they're not you, like if you're the gym owner and you're like, that's not my vibe at all, then you shouldn't do it. Right.
Yeah.
Like if you're John Danaher and masterful technique is your thing and that's it, I'm assuming, then double down on that. But I do think most gym owners probably also have a bit of personality and have, you know, want to have a bit more going on than just the technique.
Yes.
So in that way, what we're talking about is, I think, should be pretty wide ranging for most academy owners. So creating space for people to become mates. You think about jiu-jitsu, the bonds that you form with your training partners can be so tight because of the intensity of the training and like the intimacy of the engagement, right? Like, you know, you're rolling around on top of each other, sweating, squeezing.
You get their pubes in your mouth. You're like, yeah. I hope that's a chest hair.
Yeah. Like, not. You know, and so in that way, like, you will form bonds purely just through the training.
Yes.
But something that we recognized, say, in our gym here at Jungle Brothers was that you won't form bonds with everyone.
No.
Right? You won't. And obviously, like, we're not, what we do here, jiu-jitsu is part of it, but it's more the strength and mobility and all that kind of stuff. You'll end up with people that do become mates, but the group as a whole won't all connect with each other. So we believe that you got to create space and opportunities for people to actually connect with everyone in the room.
Crossover.
Exactly. And a way that we do that practically here is in warm-ups, where we'll run certain drills that will require partners. And we'll say, pair up with someone. And sometimes we'll say, pair up with someone you don't know.
Yeah, it's good.
Right? Or find someone in the room that you've never met before.
Yep.
Right? Go pair up with them. And then you'll do a couple of rounds. And, okay, we'll do another round, swap partners. So you're just forcing this cross-pollination of humans.
Yes.
And you're really creating the opportunity. You're not saying you guys have to be friends.
No.
But it's just like, I make sure that everyone kind of knows everyone. That's important, right? That immediately kind of squashes a little bit of like the growth of like cliques and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at jiu-jitsu gyms, you usually have a clique.
You do see cliques, yeah.
You do, because like I've got the people that I always want to drill with and roll with, and just by nature of that, I don't talk really with the other people.
Yeah.
But if there's something in the warm-up or if there's something in the technique, or if the coach goes, hey, guys, pair up with someone different today.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, okay, good call. Hey, you that I've never spoken to.
Yes.
Let's do this thing. Another opportunity where that happens, and a lot of jiu-jitsu gyms do this, is the enforced handshake when you step on the mats.
Yeah, going around, shake everyone's hand.
I actually really like that.
I think it's good, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. The closing of the class, I like the official closing where it's like, hey guys, we do the bow thing, whatever, and then we stand in a line and we all shake each other's hand.
Yeah.
Like that is, like that's kind of a traditionalist thing, but if we look at it purely from this social connection, you're actually giving every person an opportunity to connect with every other person.
That's right. Yeah.
At the very least.
Acknowledgement.
Yeah. At least. Yeah. Yeah. I've shook your hand. Hey, what's up, man? Don't know what your name is, but we'll do the thing.
Yeah. I guess that goes into how serious or playful the culture of a gym might be, because certain gyms might be more serious. Just quickly speaking to that kind of B-Team versus kind of New Wave, I do believe that New Wave is more of a serious competitor gym and you can't just go there. Do you know what I mean? From what I understand,
it kind of operates within another gym, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's not a business.
The Roka, R-O-K-A or whatever. Yeah. Like, and also if you want to train with those guys, you have to be referred. Like you have to know some. Like
right.
You have to be vouched for. You're not just going to show up.
A friend of ours.
Yeah. It's kind of like mafia. Yeah. Like we vouch for this guy. He's not crazy. He's also good enough, or she's good enough to be on this mat with you guys. You know, and even then they won't let you roll with everybody, you know. Whereas B Team is far more inclusive, but you also got to know that you're going into that's a hard place to just test the waters as well.
Yeah.
You want to be prepared. But for sure there is a lot more of the fun and games, tomfoolery, like we make memes. that's part of the culture too, right? Yeah. Another thing that I had learnt from kind of Taekwondo and Judo as well is like the games. Like you're talking about the warm-up drills, how they kind of – they're almost like icebreaker games that you would do at a team building event, like corporate.
Yeah.
Corporate try to do it. They're like, we have a soul-crushing corporate culture. But we also do team building events to compensate for the low-level PTSD and high churn rate. Anyway, that might mean nothing to you, but to all my corporates, shout out. Hang in there or quit. The games thing, the playfulness, I think like – playing tag or stuck in the mud or stuff that you might associate with like a kid's class. Actually, adults are just kids in bigger bodies.
Yeah.
If you try and get adults to run, they're not into it. But if you chuck a ball out there and you're like, we're playing soccer, or we're playing football, it is on.
Yeah.
Like the people are willing to risk injury and just personal embarrassment to win at like impromptu soccer. You know, or a dodgeball or something like that. And this allows for this idea of being playful and fun. And I think that as an opportunity for culture says, we're not just here to be tough. We are here to enjoy ourselves. We're here to have fun. And this opens up a side to people, which maybe if it was just like bow, us, you know, like yeah. You don't see that
today's
so
technique. Yeah. Like
true.
Exactly. Yeah, it shows it's a whole different kind of facet of the thing.
Yeah, and I think the next thing on the opportunities, which we were talking about making time in the class or allowing it, is not just kicking people off the mat.
Yeah, time and space for it.
Hang time.
Yeah, so like, you know, the classic thing is you finish training and then you'll hang out on the mats, have a chat, stretch, whatever. Maybe you want to review some technique, you know, and this is a really important kind of decompressive part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
For a lot of gyms, it's like we've spoken about, you know, they've got to move you out because the next class is starting.
Yeah.
And like that's fine, right? Like the gym has to manage it. You know, they've got to use the space and they've got to do what they've got to do to make the business work. But I think it's really important to just have some kind of time and space where that can occur, even if it's like there's a bench seat that's available where all the people from the previous class can go and sit and just kind of fucking talk shit for a bit.
Yeah, or a spare mat to the side or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just – and it's acknowledging that, like, that's important.
Dude, I've heard some very open chat. I've heard, like, tough men open up about things post-jiu-jitsu. It's like I think it was 60s or 70s they were giving people MDMA or whatever to try to get them to open up in counseling or giving them different drugs and then asking them personal questions. I think the hormone response to hard rolling just softens up hard men and they start telling you stuff. And it's good in some ways, but then you hear some, yeah, mate, and then I had my kidney removed and, oh, mate, I was pissing blood for months. And like, whoa, hey, George, I didn't ask, bro. Like, but, you know, but then suddenly maybe that big brown belt George isn't breaking your neck now because he –
you know, maybe he is, but you don't mind so much because you know that George is a complete human.
Yeah, he's actually a person, and it breaks the barriers.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? You tend to see your training partners in a way as like just characters in training. Oh, that's the guy that goes, oh, that's the fucking person that I got the thing with. Oh, that's so-and-so. We always have fun roles. But then, you know, when there's this social aspect to it, that's where you learn, oh, wow, so-and-so's also a parent, and they struggle with whatever, some of the shit that I do. Or, oh, fuck, so-and-so runs their own business. That's why they tend not to show up consistently all the time. And, you know, like, you just learn those things. I would say that for most people listening, it's like, oh, yeah, Christmas party. Like when the gym has a Christmas party.
Sure.
We'll talk more about the events. But if it's only kind of once a year, this sort of thing,
yeah,
it's probably not quite enough, because here's the way to view it too. If you're in the in group of this stuff,
it's easy.
It's all cool, right? But if you're kind of a bit on the outer, like maybe if you're a bit socially awkward, or maybe if you're not handling like the intimacy and the contact and pressure of jiu-jitsu, then chances are you'll come into the gym, have this experience, be on the outer, and then you'll leave.
Just bounce.
Yeah, and you're probably not listening to this podcast, right? But that's the reality of it.
Or maybe you are listening to this podcast and you're trying to work it out.
Potentially, hopefully. But so for gym owners, I think it's very easy to look at your in-group and go, look at them, they fucking love it. They're great. They all get along. They go out for coffee after training and they're, you know, got a good crew, without realizing, oh, hang on, but I've lost 10 members this month.
Yeah.
And really, it's those 10 members that we're concerned more about.
Yeah. And this is something which is probably throwing back to the previous podcast, just where we talk about churn. This is a big thing in business that people don't understand. It is hard to get customers, right? That's probably the hardest thing, is to get people into your business. So once you get them, you got to cherish them, because to lose them, you know, like to maintain a customer is so much easier than to get a customer.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this is not...
Done all that work to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't let them go.
A little bit of effort to just get to know them and understand what's going on with them. And I've definitely made mistakes in the past with students, like not owning the gym, but being the head instructor and probably not being empathetic enough to someone and just being like, oh, they're flaky, when actually I should have just sat and had a chat with them. So what I always try to do is understand, like anyone I meet in jiu-jitsu, I'll say, oh, how did you discover it? Or how did you bring yourself to be here today to do this thing? Just to get a little bit of insight of what's going on with them.
What's your favorite episode of the Bulletproof for BJJ podcast?
The episode where JT dominated the conversation and proved that you shouldn't take rest rounds. My kind of a guy. We're going to get on just fine. But here's where it gets a bit deeper.
Quits due to burnout. Please carry on.
Completely injured. Yeah. But has become a great member of our program doing all the rehab. This is where it gets probably a little bit deeper.
Go there.
Young guy, I won't name him.
Julian.
No, not at all. Not at all. This is kind of crazy. I didn't understand. He's like really nice guy, but would always give up in training, and I didn't understand. Like if someone passed his guard, he'd just kind of, you know. And there were times when I felt he could do really well, but he would quit. And then I didn't see him for 3 weeks and I didn't understand what's going on. And he came back and he was real sheepish. He didn't want to get on the mat. And I was like, yo, what's going on, man? Like, did something bad happen in training? And he's like, oh, I just got a neck injury. And he'd actually tried to kill himself. He'd actually hung himself. And his parents found him and saved him.
Damn.
Could have been so tragic, right? And what's super intense about that was his best friend had committed suicide like a year before, and it was the anniversary of like a best friend's kind of death.
Right.
And it's so tough. You never know what's going on in someone's life, right? And I just was like, man, I had no idea that's what this person was dealing with. So I just took the time to talk to them and just talk with them about what they bring to the gym and what's good about them, and like really make an effort to make them understand that they have value being there. There's a huge value in you being there, even if you're not aware of it. And so even if you don't feel valuable or you don't view yourself as valuable, you making the effort to be there and overcome all the dark thoughts and all the problems in your mind, you give a lot to the environment by being there, even if it doesn't feel that way. And I had to just communicate that to him. And I think that made a difference to him. He still trains now, which is awesome to see.
Great.
But you just don't know what's going on in a person's life, right?
Nah.
And so just being able to have a chat with someone, even if you're not the gym owner or anything, you just, there's a bit of a quiet person on the side of the mat, doesn't fit in, just going over and having a, hey man, what's going on with you? And trying to find some common ground to talk about is powerful.
Yeah. Like I would say to that end, like if you're, like say if you think about Vantage, right? Ads is a super social guy, really like boisterous out there. So naturally, if you go in there, you're feeling that energy.
Yeah.
But say like once a gym like that gets bigger.
Hard to.
Yeah, he's got to finish that class, start coaching the next one. There's very little opportunity for him to have that social. Like right now, or say I haven't been there for a while, but you know, he could comfortably socialize with some people while the next class was starting because they're all kind of there in the same little space.
Sure.
And everyone can see, oh, he's just, you know, he's blowing down with so-and-so, we'll start the warm-up. But there's a point where you go, okay, I've got to go coach this next thing.
Yeah.
There's a for gyms that are like, fuck, how do I do that? It's almost worth like charging one of your top students or even just a student that's most appropriate for it to be like, hey, can you like, can I get you just to go and like check in with some of the newer people after class and see how they're finding it?
Yeah.
You know, because just someone who's even it's a, if it's another white belt, but someone that knows the place, it's like, hey, man, fuck, you know, my name's Joey, whatever, we haven't met. I've seen you here.
I've met you three times, Joe. My name's Chris.
Oh, of course, Griff. Nice to meet you, Griff. I've seen you. You're great, man. Keep doing your thing.
My guy.
But, yeah, the you know, just to go and see, like, how's it going? Like, how are you finding it here?
Yeah.
Because that person asking them that, like, that could be the difference between that person going, oh, this gym cares about me, this gym's cool,
yeah.
Or, fuck, no one gives a shit if I show up or not.
Yeah.
And I'm not really digging it, so I'm not going to show up anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, and I mean, I think people do talk. They talk with their wallet, you know, where they spend their money. Do I want to spend time getting bashed by a bunch of assholes? No. I want to get bashed by my mates.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just one piece on that. Like what we have here, right? We've got luxury of a lot of space, but we've got deliberate area where people can hang out,
just chill
class, right?
Yeah.
When I trained at Deuce in LA, which is a gym that I quite like, they have a sign, kind of like a no stopping sign that they've got plastered on. They've got a big picnic table at their outdoor training area, and it says, it's like warning, you don't have to be working out to kick it.
Oh, nice.
And so they're basically saying, we want you to hang out.
That's cool.
And you can, and that, it's like for them, that's a central pillar where they're like, hanging out and being part of this thing is really important to us. Do it.
Definitely.
You know, you read that and you're like, ah, sick. I'm gonna hang out.
Well, that's it's kind of joking, but that is an explicit instruction on what culture is.
Yes.
Which is we hang out here.
Yeah.
That's what we do here. And I think there's different ways that you can communicate that if you have an intention to run a gym or if you even think about your own gym, like how can we make it better? Because what's cool is when you get those like – I don't know, they're kind of the community leaders. They're people like, hey, I'll organize the barbecue or I'm going to run a raffle and we're going to raise money for so-and-so or, you know, it's always great when you get those super enthusiastic people who they want to do something for the community. And I think if you are one of those people or if you own a gym and you recognize one of those people, you make them like your chief event officer. You're like, hey, have you got any good ideas? Yeah, man, we're all going to get a jumping castle or we're going to, you know, we'll do something. And you're like, oh, I would have never thought of that. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, make that person plan the next social event.
Yeah, and I think that was the thing. This is where we can roll into social events is the consistency. It's not the token, it's, you know, it's Easter or it's Christmas or it's, you know, you're just doing it because it's on the calendar anyway. You actually do something which is gym-centric to like your culture. And so what I wanted to reference here is like one of the best personal trainers who I ever knew, this lady named Lydia, she was amazing. I didn't train in the same gym as her, but I went to a seminar. She was there and I got to observe her and I got to chat with her briefly. She took her clients out to breakfast, all of them. I think she capped it at 15 or 20 clients, like not the breakfast, but that was her operational max amount of clients. And she paid for everything, coffees, food, everything, once a month. Her retention was 100%. No one wanted to leave. They loved her. So that sounds expensive as an investment, right? You're like, whoa, that sounds like a $500 plus breakfast right there. Doesn't matter. Those people are paying her like thousands of dollars and they wanted to keep paying her more. Because what I took from that, like she would just, even if a client was having a really bad day, she would even like cancel the session and then go, take them for coffee and just sit down and talk with them to show that it wasn't so much about the training, it was about the relationship and caring for the person. Mm. And that care breeds the trust, and the trust is you don't spend money with people you don't trust. You know, it's just what it is. You think someone's dodgy, you're like, I'm not giving them money, you know? So the relationship thing, which is really interesting, I found, was these people would just tell everyone about her. She's the best. You know what Lydia said? She said this. And it's like, I get sick of hearing about this woman, but she's so good. And so it's what she's showing there is it's like, I'm prepared to invest in this relationship by spending this money because it's not about the money. It's about the relationship. So I think coming up with excuses, and this doesn't mean you're not buying trust, but if we think about as a relationship as an exchange, you do things which isn't to benefit you financially. You're doing it to just have better friendships. It's like super powerful, and I've always taken that on board as like culturally, that's amazing because I hadn't heard of other trainers doing that. And in my opinion, I think she just – I don't know what she does now, but at the time when I was a young trainer in Melbourne, she was the best.
Yeah, it's like I think a lot of us realize that, you know, you got to have a business, like you have to have something transactional in there, but if you can build a community or a culture around it, that just makes the whole thing like – more enriching, more exciting for people, more likely to keep engaging with the business. And so, yeah, that's a masterful way of like building a community, right?
Having a games day, JB Games.
JB Games.
The tribe.
Yeah, so, I mean, on the social events thing, if you are like, oh, fuck, it's middle of December and I haven't done anything. Hey, guys, we're doing a barbecue this weekend. You know, fill the esky with beers and we'll go hang out at the park. Like,
it's a little bit token.
It's shit. It's yeah. Because everyone's busy
yeah.
and people can see that you don't give a fuck about it because it was just an afterthought.
Yeah.
So you're lucky if you get, I don't know, 40% of the people showing up.
Mm.
You know, it's real easy to pull out on that one. It was yeah. like, hey, coming on the weekend? But I think so. And then whatever, I only have to fucking whatever, have a big night the night before or something to be like, you know, well, I'm not going to go because it's not an important event.
Yep.
But when you say, hey guys, 3 months' time on this date, we got the Christmas party.
Planning it.
Here's how we're doing it.
Mm.
I got someone making this fucking sick food. They're bringing in this shit. They're doing, and I got this guy doing drinks. We're going to be making, you know, like yeah. all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, there's a bit of value here. They're really,
buzz.
Yeah, a bit of putting energy into it. Hey, and I need you to mark attending on this sheet. We've got the sheet in the gym or it's an online thing, whatever. All of a sudden there's more weight to it. It's yeah. like, fuck, that's an event I don't want to miss. And then there's a bit of hype on the Instagram and yeah. on the social group. So it's like, have social events sort of planned out at the beginning of the year, go, well, we've got 12 months. What social events do we need to have? Christmas is a great one. Maybe there's something in the middle of the year. That's when we have JB Games,
yep.
right? So for us here at the gym, it's like JB Games is huge. Christmas party is huge. Yep. And then we kind of scatter, put smaller events throughout the year.
Planting day. So that's the thing. You guys may not know, at Jungle Brothers, they have like organic garden. And so there is a time in the year where it kind of gets stripped out.
Every season.
Yeah, working bee, everybody comes in and it's cool because it's not training related.
No.
You're getting an opportunity to just spend time with people doing something which isn't jiu-jitsu or isn't, you know, related to fitness. And you come to know people, you come to understand them. So someone who you thought was a jerk, you're like, actually, they're okay. We actually have a lot more in common than I imagined. And so then that's the funny thing, getting to know people, there's more trust and more social currency.
Yeah.
And so there's greater connection. And why would you want to leave a place where you feel connected and you love it? So I think that's consistently giving people opportunities to better understand each other is pretty important when you are constantly on a daily basis providing opportunity for people to injure or smash each other.
Yeah.
You want a bit of the other stuff as well.
Yeah.
But then on that, I think communication is a pretty important thing. Like different gyms have their different jargon. You know, 10th Planet, they got their own language.
They've done an awesome job of just building their own culture.
100%.
Like everyone see, you're like, wow, they're a bunch of weirdos. What the fuck are they doing?
But people gravitate to that.
Oh, it's awesome, right? It's their own thing.
It is. And each 10th Planet has its own subset. Like there's all this like the moonheads or there's different like subsets within Planet culture. I'm not privy to all of it. I know a little bit. I've seen behind the curtain. I've been to an Eddie Bravo seminar.
Right on.
I've been the only non-10th Planet person at an Eddie Bravo seminar.
Right on.
Frank Barker vouched for me. Because Eddie Bravo was like, hang on a second. Who's this guy? I'm in a room with like 200 10th Planet, like hardcore, all wearing their gear. And I'm there in a bulletproof rashie. And it's like, who's this guy? He's like, no. I vouch for him. He can be here. I was like, all right. Eddie was like real skeptical on me, you know.
Right on, yeah.
Didn't trust that I wasn't a 10th Planet devotee. But anyway, it was awesome. It was an awesome time. But that is a great example of they have their own language pretty much around technique. They have their own approach. The ideals are a certain way, but if you lean towards that, you kind of know what you're getting yourself in for. I think the hard thing is when you go to a jiu-jitsu gym, if you're a new person, you don't necessarily know. And what gyms do poorly, and this is what we're discussing now, is communicating that. This is what we do here. This is what we say. When someone gets injured, this is what we do. We don't neglect them. We follow up. You know, so I can't remember. Maybe it is here at Jungle Brothers, the Wounded Warriors kind of list. Is that in the newsletter? Or I can't remember. There was something, and I actually thought it was pretty good, and this is something I think all jiu-jitsu gyms should adopt, is acknowledging that injuries happen. Like not making it like a dark thing, like, oh, that only happens to people who don't train properly.
Yeah.
It's like, no, everyone gets injured. And so if you're on the injured list, well, you still kind of want to be there, right? So everyone has different approaches. Some people feel embarrassed. I'm injured. I don't want to go to training because people ask me about it. I don't want to talk about it, you know. And then other people, they're pretty diligent. They show up. They're there. They just want to be at the gym. I think as a gym or as a gym owner or even as a coach, following up with people and being like, oh, how are you going this week? Have you seen the physio? Or, you know, are you doing your rehab? Where are you in this stage? Just doing that extra little bit of follow-up and communication, that's really important to keep people connected. And then also just following up, like you had a new person come in. Hey, man, you had your first class. Like, how are you going? Like, it just is extra bits of effort.
Yeah.
Like even –
I mean, it's kind of the customer service piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we touched on last episode where it's like, it's a fucking obligation. Someone shows up for their first class, contact them.
Yeah.
Like, ideally, like within 12 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, man, how was it?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to see you again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even if somebody might be like, oh, I'm not sure.
That's fine.
Yeah.
You've done your bit.
Yeah.
Like, man, well, fuck, it's great to have you here. Gym's opening.
Welcome
you know,
anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like sure. that's just, yeah, I think that it's like essential. But often so overlooked. I think with the injury thing, it's really easy for gym owners to forget that for the person coming to your academy, they're there for so many things, not just the jiu-jitsu technique. Like it becomes their church.
Yes.
Their people are there. Their belief system lives there. That's going to that place is what keeps them in a routine. It's what they do Tuesday, Thursday, Friday evenings after work.
It's their mental health routine.
It's their mental health, right? It's the, like, there's so much stuff involved in it. It's their feelings of like, I'm doing good things for my health and I train consistently and I'm a jiu-jitsu person. Mm. So when they get injured, sure, maybe they can't roll, but you should still be encouraging them and creating a space for them to come to the academy so that they can still have all that other stuff.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is they'll take a month off and then that month will turn into 2 months. And then after 2 months, it's like, fuck, I don't think I'm going to go back to jits.
Yeah.
I'm out of the routine now. You no longer, those bonds have kind of disappeared a little bit because they just haven't been nourished. I think it's like, it's such a huge ball drop to not realize like how important your gym is to each person that comes there.
Definitely. And also the difficult thing is no one teaches you this. If you learn jiu-jitsu and you're awesome at it, that's great. But no one goes, here's gym culture 101. And maybe what you learned is pure savagery and mat bullying and just be tough. Because a mutual friend of ours was lamenting the lack of toughness in jiu-jitsu now. Just a little while ago we were talking about it and saying, oh, you know, like I guess his view on jiu-jitsu is everyone should just be freaking hardcore and I did it hard and everyone should do it hard. And I don't think that's necessarily true. I think even the way I started jiu-jitsu was super brutal and it's just because I'm a stubborn person that I stuck at it, but not many people are on my level of stubborn. If that was any other person, they probably never would have gone back. So I just recently introduced my best friend's son to jiu-jitsu, did his first class. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. He's 15.
How'd he go?
Okay, but he almost pulled out last second. He got super self-conscious. He's like, oh, I don't know, man. Nah, look, oh. And there was heaps of other like teenage boys, kind of white belts, a couple of, like older men too, but he was like, oh, yeah, well, look, oh, I'm feeling a bit off in my stomach and like just getting all his kind of anxiety about it because he's not particularly fit. He's a big kid. But what was really interesting was that the as soon as the warm up started, it broke his frame because it was like forward rolls. He was like, "What?" Like he just kind of was like, "Shit, I haven't done a forward roll since I was like a kid." Like he's 15, but he's like
6 months ago.
Yeah. but as soon as he started doing the forward rolls and stuff, he felt a bit silly, but he could also see everyone else is just kind of fumbling along as well.
Got carried along in the momentum of the
thing. Yeah, and then, yeah, I partnered with him to try and make it so he didn't get poked in the eye or kneed in the face or anything. But, yeah, he had a pretty good time. And then there was, like, some situational rolling at the end. And, yeah, it was good. And by the end of it, he was like, yeah, no, I was all right with that. But it was just – he had so much apprehension.
Yeah.
But being able to go through the process and everyone there was pretty cool. And the instructor actually came up and said, oh, you did that well. And you should have seen him like, coach thinks I'm good, you know, this guy, you know, like he's new, he's actually terrible. But he had a moment of acknowledgement, and I think that moment of acknowledgement was like, maybe I could be good at this, which is great. And I think, like we're saying, this communication thing, going around acknowledging people, speaking with people, following up with people, that's what relationships are. And the thing that I did which changed my personal training cancellation rate, not churn, but like stop people from cancelling during the week, depending on how they like to be communicated with, because some people like email, some people like text, some people like a call, they want to have a chat. Every Sunday, I would confirm appointments.
Yeah.
I would call, text, or email and be like, hey, just wanted to see how your weekend was. Did you drink enough water or do the thing that I'm always bugging you about? Also, are you good for Monday, Wednesday this week? Just wanted to know how you're looking. And just doing that simple thing once a week, that little bit of follow-up prompted them and it really locked people in, and my people didn't cancel.
Yeah, and I mean for a gym owner who's got like 100 plus students, they'd be like, fuck, it's a lot of tech. But I actually know a fitness group guy, Barton. Barton, Purple Belt? And he, I don't know if he still does it, but he used to text every single one of his clients on a Sunday and say, what class are you coming to this week?
Yeah.
And fuck, it goes a long way.
Huge.
You know, even like the one step back from that is when you're leaving the class and the coach says, when are you coming in next?
Yes.
Well, see you tomorrow night, or are you back in on Friday this week? Like just that little confidence, you're like, yeah, I am. You're like, fuck, committed to it.
Nice.
Goes such a long way.
Yeah. And I think there's something which is, this might be a little more meta, but when the social group feeds itself, like you as the coach or as you as the gym owner, you hear about the group organizing, like they've organized to all go watch the UFC and you didn't even do that.
Yeah.
The crew did that. The fam did that. You're like, oh, nice. Like that's so cool that you've brought people together enough that they start to actively include people and actively invite people and do things which maybe you didn't even think of or you're too busy doing the admin. But your you know, the eldest children are raising up the little ones.
That's mad.
It's pretty cool, right? And I think that's a great sign of having built an inclusive culture to get people together outside of just choking each other.
I was thinking on that. You mentioned old mate who was like, you know, I wish jiu-jitsu people would be tougher and kind of the more old school thing. And I think like if you're listening to this and you're like, I train at a tough gym and we're a bunch of hard cunts and, you know, that's how I think. Then, like, I think that's mad because there needs to be diversity to gyms.
Yes.
But you should do social shit that fits in with the vibe.
Yeah.
So, and not all your social shit needs to be jiu-jitsu related. There's already enough of that going on,
right?
There's
a lot of that.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it's a throwaway thing to be like, oh, after the competition, we're going to go and have a late dinner because everyone's exhausted from a day of the competition and we don't want to have a fucking boring meal together. But don't do that. Leave the comp for the comp.
Yeah.
But, you know, like if you got a hardcore thing going on, maybe you guys go and do a box. Maybe you get a local boxing gym to put on a workshop for you.
Yeah.
And you all get to go and smash each other like with fists for the day.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe it's all we go to paintball once a year and everyone goes fucking ham.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't always have to be like fun and like, or it doesn't always have to be like gentle and home to everyone. It's kind of specific to the culture you're trying to breed.
We've combined axe throwing with paintball.
Yeah. Right. But like for the right gym, like, you know, be like, fuck yeah, that's cool. That's what I want to do.
That's the vibe.
And then for another gym, it might be, I don't know, we're going to do a coffee tasting over at this local roastery. And
why not?
You know, like sick.
Single origin.
Right.
Jeremy Paul Skinner.
Shout out JPS. but yeah, so I mean, I yeah, that shit goes such a long way. And I think it's so easy to overlook. like the marketing piece that we spoke about in part one, you're just so busy doing everything. If you can just put a little bit of time into one day of the year where you go, all right, I'm just going to sit down and plan out a couple of cool events this year.
Mm.
And then fucking get people hyped around them. And that's where you start to build your culture.
Definitely. And if you're not even sure, say this doesn't just, you're not inclined to it. You don't, it's not in your social DNA to organize these things. Find someone who can help you. Like there's always someone. You probably know someone who organizes family parties and does stuff. Find them, grab them and be like, can you help me with this?
Yeah.
And they will. And then you've got, not only do you have a group of great jiu-jitsu people, you've got a group of great friends. And that is probably the best marketing you can have for a group.
You could, you know, if you're at a loss, you could go onto your gym social group right now and say, hey guys, I'm stuck for ideas on a social event. What should we do?
Oh yeah.
And someone's going to go, rock climbing. Let's go to that new brewery. Like yeah. This is gonna, and you go, okay, cool. Let's do it 1 month from now. Like it just ask them.
Yeah.
Right.
But possibly do the brewery after the rock climbing.
Yeah.
Not before.
Sick one.
Nice.
Guys, thanks for tuning in on that. You heard the man at the beginning of the show. Subscribe to our shit. It's going to help the algorithm know that this is good shit and that more people need to get on it. But no, seriously, what YouTube, Spotify, wherever you are, just hit subscribe. Small little gesture goes a long way for us. And of course, if you want help with your training, strength, mobility, jiu-jitsu related, jump on one of our programs, bulletproof at bjj.com, start training, and we'll see you there.